Good morning. Yes. It's kind of funny. I was telling Stan out in the hallway there that basketball season's kicking in. And we do the broadcast kicking up, starting pretty soon. And, you know, it's kind of like in PA announcing, and there'd be a travel. You know what that means? They didn't dribble. And on the PA, we go, traveling. You know, something exciting, right? I'm refereeing the next day, and the guy travels, and I went, traveling. And the coach cracked up. All right, sorry, Alan, that wasn't even in the script, man. We want to welcome everybody, yes. Obviously, OCC, Operation Christmas Child, full swing. We have folks bringing some boxes in already. Next week is the week to bring those in. Amen. Today, we've been talking about radical living. Today is radical hope. Think of the hope that little box brought to her life. And many of you have already got some boxes. If you still want to do it, Lori, they can still go to the store, get a little shoebox type thing and fill it up. If you don't know what to put on there, there's information on the website. You can go to Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse. Check out the website. And tonight, the youth are coming in about 6 o'clock. We're going to be helping load some of those boxes, so we'll be a part of that as well. So, folks, let's pray together, and we'll get ready to worship with the band coming up. Lord, thank you for this time. We love you. We thank you for watching over us, and we pray that as we sing and hear your word, that we will be ready to bring hope to those that we see, Lord, a radical hope that only you can give. We love you. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I get to, when I'm doing the weddings around, y'all know I do a lot of weddings, and for folks from all over the country. Last night I was with folks from Boston, the night before from folks from Dahlonega, Georgia. You know, that's a little different culture. And but you know what? I tell them, we have an amazing band. I invited them. I said, the keyboard's not too good, but the rest of them are fantastic. So I hope you enjoy the band and be in prayer. Kevin and Libby traveling this week, of course, so be with them as well. A couple questions here. Talking about radical hope. We've been talking about radical living. Lori, I know we have the fourth and fifth graders are going back into the fellowship hall today. If you'd like to go back there, Lori will walk back with you as well. Was that what it was that I forgot? I knew I forgot something. All right. So have you ever felt hopeless? You know, here's our topic, radical hope. The opposite of that would be hopelessness. You know, at the end of World War II, there was a submarine, and I studied this a little bit because I wanted to find out about different rescues. And there was a submarine, and we have had this happen several times where submarines went down, and they would get the Coast Guard divers and folks down there, and they would try to listen to see if there was a noise inside to see if they were folks alive. And one of the times they had Morse code coming out. They were tapping Morse code and said, is there hope? Is there hope? One of the rescues I read about, some of the sailors had died in the original blast, but they had this submersible that they sent down, however far it was, and would bring up 8 sailors at a time. And they saved 33 sailors out of that particular submarine. So there was hope for those. Sometimes we feel hopeless. We wonder, is there hope? Maybe sitting in front of a pile of bills saying, is there hope? Maybe standing at the side of a grave at the cemetery. I'll be doing that tomorrow night in Tennessee, actually. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Maybe sitting in a doctor's office, reviewing some tests, finding out what the doctor has to say. Is there hope? Waiting for a job offer, having been laid off. Is there hope? Maybe wondering, am I ever going to get married or am I going to have a family? But this question of hope is an essential question of our life. Paul says there's only one thing that can give us eternal hope, and that's our faith, our relationship, a lasting hope and a permanent hope in Jesus Christ. He talks about it in 1 Peter. We're going to talk about that. However, to To kick it off, I have one of my proverbial vaunted top 10 lists. Haven't done this in a while, have I, Jason? Thank heavens, right? People are very happy that we've not had these in a while. But anyway, there's a lot of songs and phrases and, you know, little sayings that use the word hope, TV shows, movies, hope phrases and songs, etc. Let's look through this top 10 list. Number 10, the Cape of Good Hope. That is the bottom of Africa coming around. Anybody been there? I didn't know. Dick, how about that? On the military going around there? Very nice. It's kind of dangerous, they said, huh? Yeah. I promise I won't call on but about three or four more people before we finish. All right, number 9, Hope Springs Eternal, written by the Pope. No, Alexander Pope, yes. I'm sure Pope probably quoted that too. Hope Springs Eternal, great little saying there. Number 8, Hope Floats. I've not seen the movie. Anybody seen the movie? I won't call on you. Go ahead. All right, good. Sandra Bullock, Harry Connick. Senior, junior, I don't know. One of them. Is it good? Everybody says good? Our crowd says it was good for those on Facebook. All right, number 7. Cross my heart, my fingers, my eyes, and hope to die. That's pretty negative, isn't it? Hope. There it is. Number 6, TV shows. Ryan's Hope. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. That's a soap opera. Alan, I see you shaking. Chicago Hope. That's like a hospital drama, isn't it? Something like that. Is that a soap opera too? I don't know. All right, next. So, number 5, Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher. Yes. Number 4, I Hope You Dance. Anybody heard that at a wedding? They play that a lot. I Hope You Dance. Number 3, High Hopes, Frank Sinatra. And then there's like a video, and there's a little plant that's trying to grow, the little rubber tree or something. He's saying, got high hopes. Frank Sinatra, number 2, Hopelessly Devoted to You. Anybody know the movie or the play? Grease, yes. This one better be really good. Number 1 ought to be like incredible, shouldn't it? All right, what's number 1? What in the world? Anybody know that one? My Hope Is You. Does y'all know that? Who made this list, Joe? That shouldn't be number 1, should it?
You did.
We got a little bit more. All right, hang on. So
I just got a text from Kevin. He says, no, that's not it. You got to keep going.
We got to keep going. Okay. Kevin says we got to keep going, so let's do that. You got a bulletin. It's got the notes in there. Look at this verse. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Those who hope in the Lord. King James says wait, and it means to wait expectantly, hoping in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. Great passage that talks about hope. And I looked up the actual Greek or the Hebrew word, which means to wait expectantly, to be waiting for God to move, to be hopeful is what it's all about. So our hope, as we think about it, first of all, hope is not just wishful thinking. And I know sometimes our football fans, we have wishful thinking. This year, South Carolina's wishful thinking is coming around, isn't it? That's very good. And Tennessee as well, I guess. You know, they're coming around. Even Vanderbilt. It's not, you know, a genuine hope is not just optimism either. It's something deeper. It is it's a theological fact, and we're going to talk about 5. Look at this word, incontrovertible facts. The only time I hear that word, theological facts, is when they're doing a review in the football game. There needs to be incontrovertible evidence to overturn the call. You know, you hear that. So what is incontrovertible? Here's what incontrovertible means: indisputable, incontestable. Irrefutable. In other words, you can bank on it. All right? So I'm thinking about some of the things. Let me ask you a question. Speaking of that, when we were in school, we were taught something. How many of you believe that Pluto is a planet? How many of you believe it is not a planet? That's 50-50. What happened? Jason, we even had a saying. It was My very educated mother just served us 9 pickles. Now, if Pluto's not a planet, why did we have pickles? I got to ask you this, too. Some of you took a test in school, and you forgot to put Pluto down, and you got a bad grade. You should go back and talk to the teacher. Say, I got a pass. I got the A on that test, right? So there it is. You know, things we can, what are the things that we can bank on? Here's some other things. We're going to talk about positive incontrovertible facts. We're going to talk about positive ones. Here's some negative ones. When you're in a hurry, your computer will do an update. When you're in a hurry, Charleston traffic will look like a parking lot. Incontrovertible. There's the word. Maybe a convertible. If you do fantasy football, anybody do fantasy football? It's, I know some people call it fake football, but fantasy football, right? If you take a player out of your lineup and put them on the bench, they will have the best play of the season. They will have their best game ever because you don't get the points, right? Nobody does that, so forget that one. Your car tends to break down. This is incontrovertible fact. Your car tends to break down within a week or two after the warranty expires. True. Gas will be 10 or 20 cents higher, or excuse me, 20 cents cheaper at the exit right after you got gas. See, I'm going to get the gas here. It's pretty cheap. You go to the next one, it's 20 cents cheaper. You've already filled up. One more. This one just happened. Parents must test all Halloween candy to make sure it's safe. Is that correct? That is correct. All right. There you go. Well, let's look at these 5 things. 5 incontrovertible facts. Number 1, God chose me before I chose him. Wow. 1 Peter chapter 2. That's where we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. We're going to look at the first few verses of that first chapter because it talks about this hope that we have. You were chosen according to the purpose of God the Father and were made a holy people by His Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I hear the word we've been chosen, I think of this picture. Let's pull this picture up and see if you see. You remember in Toy Story, they're in there, and that's, what's the guy? The guy, Jack or whatever his name is, Sidney or something, comes in there and he does the claw, and the claw reaches down and pulls out one of those little green things. Buzz Lightyear has just jumped in and he's watching. And that little animal toy, whatever it is going up, going, I have been chosen. And that's what I think of. I think we've been chosen, all right? I have been chosen. You have been chosen. Here's a picture of a guy that you might recognize. They thought he was going to be the number 1 draft pick. The San Francisco 49ers had the first draft pick. They picked a guy named Alex Smith, all right? Pretty good player, good quarterback, but Aaron Rodgers is a name we still talk about. He went down, he fell all the way down to number 24. And what did he say? They said, how disappointed are you that you will not be a 49er? He said, not as disappointed as the 49ers will be that they didn't pick me. They didn't choose him. You know what? In God's eyes, you are the number 1 draft pick. You're the number 1 choice. You don't go down on that list. You're there. You are his number 1 choice. Don't forget that. And, of course, we've all seen the series called The Chosen. And you think about that word. Why did they say chosen, the chosen? Because God is choosing his followers. He's choosing us even before we choose him. Once you realize that, every day when you get up and you say, I've been chosen by God, it changes your perspective. So keep that in front of you. Number 2, God always treats me with mercy. Whew, aren't you glad? God always treats me with mercy, treats you with mercy, treats us with mercy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, all honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. that privilege, that mercy that we do not deserve. Aren't you glad that we don't get what we deserve? None of us would even be alive. If we got what we deserve, we'd all be dead. Because God demands perfection. I think it's Matthew 5:48 says, somebody says, how good do you have to be to get into heaven? Very simple. Just be perfect. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Nobody except Jesus. And he's the one who paid the price. So there it is, mercy. And then Titus 3:5 says this, he saved us not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. It all starts with him. It all starts with God, not because of us. If you've ever read the book by Rick Warren called Purpose-Driven Life, now I say this, if you've not read it, it'd be a great book to get. And it's like a 40-day, you read one chapter every day, and it has verses that go with it. That book starts with a little phrase, and it says, it's not about me. It's not about me. Isn't that a lesson that we all ought to just take to heart? I ought to take it to heart. We all ought to take it to heart. It's about God. It's all about him. When we think about those points, to meditate on it, and we can meditate on these first two points, that we've been chosen and that God treats us with mercy. Can you think of how that would change every day when you get up in the morning, when I get up in the morning? If we were just to think, God chose me and he's showing me mercy that I don't deserve. And wow, that changes your whole outlook on the day. So that's the second thing there. He's already paid the price. Matter of fact, let's just say this, talking about mercy. There's nothing you can do. Think about this. There's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you any less. He's already given his son for you. He says, I love you no matter what. And so we accept that love. We do our best not to be sinners and not to be sinful all the time. Why? Because it hurts him. It's already been forgiven. We're on our way to heaven. But we don't want to hurt Christ. We don't want to pull the nails out and put them in the cross as we think about the crucifixion. Third one, God has secured my future. Look at verse 3b and 4. Here you go. Don't you like that? 3a, 3b, first part. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Everything in this world is changing and decaying, but heaven is perfect. It's beautiful. It also says right there, he's reserved that place for you. Have you ever gone to, some of the things that we reserve? One of the things I think of is maybe a rental car, okay? You walk in the airport, and what do you see? Nothing. All right, you get in there, you got to have a car real fast, and there's nobody there. Here's what you want to see. Yes. And you want to get that reservation taken care of. Guess what? God has your reservation to heaven set up. You check in there, there's a big smile, says, hey, you put your faith and your trust in me, we've got a place reserved for you in heaven. Like I said, I'm going to be talking about a friend of mine that I'll be sharing in his funeral tomorrow night. I know he's in heaven. He had reservations. You look at this verse, it also talks about priceless inheritance. Now, MasterCard, look here, add this little thing. A priceless vase has been smashed at the Guggenheim Museum. Stay tuned for more of this breaking story. That was supposed to be a little funny. I don't know if it was or not. But then I'm going to say, you remember the MasterCard commercials? They had all these things, and then they would say, priceless. Let's pull one up. Chinese takeout, $21. Gas money, $5. Getting home and realizing they forgot to give you one of your containers, that is riceless. I saw people smile there that didn't even smile earlier. That's good. Priceless. So God's... its security for our future is priceless. It's secure. I always talk to the, and I'm doing a broadcast. We talked about earlier at the basketball games particularly. We're right there on this side of the court. And we have security people. Not like they're going to come up and hurt us, you know, the broadcast. Well, I take that back. I'll come back to that. But I always go to the security people and say, thank you. I feel secure. You know, thank you for being here. Now, the people I'm scared of are the referees. Because I tell folks, I referee one day, I talk bad about the referees the next on the broadcast, and they watch the broadcast. That's what's scary. So before the game, they come over and say, John, we've been watching. Kind of take it easy on us tonight. I said, all right, just get all the calls right. We'll be fine. So, you know, they have security walking with the referees out to the parking lot. I asked security, can you walk with me past the referees? That's what I said. Security. God's security for our future. There's a great verse in John that says, no one can pluck you out of his hand. Great verse. The security of knowing that our salvation is full and free and forever. Security. God has secured your future. That is priceless. My future. All those who have put their faith and trust in Christ, you don't have to worry about, am I going to heaven? It's taken care of. Number four. Steve, are we going through this really fast? Does it seem like? Okay. All right. God's power will protect me. God's power will protect me, just like security. We're back to security again. And God, in verse 5, it says, and God in his mighty power will protect you until you receive this salvation because you are trusting him. You are trusting him. You remember I said a minute ago, no one can pluck you from his hand? Now, before I introduce a song, I'm just going to read the lyrics of a song, and it is a deep, deep song. It's called In Christ Alone. Some of you have heard it before. Now, one of the problems that people had way back when contemporary music started coming around was it wasn't real deep. And that's probably true. I mean, we had a song, and you probably, God is so good. God is so good. So far we're deep, right? God is so good. He's so good to me. Now, there are times we need that. There are times we need that simple, simple message. It's like when you're sick and you got a stomach ache. What do you have? Crackers and Sprite, right? That's what you have. Now, there are other times you need some deep, deep meat. The songs that we sing, if you listen to the words, if you follow these words, they're deep. It reminds me, now instead of having the crackers and soda or the crackers and Sprite, you would have like a wedding menu. Now this morning I was reading over this menu. I was there last night. I wish I'd have brought that menu. That was pretty cool. It had some stuff from Boston even. But I want you to hear this menu. I don't even know if I'm going to make it through this. Liver parfait with warm bread and apricot chutney. Is that how you said apricot or apricot? How do you... Whatever you say. You know what it is. Pasta alle verdure in tomatoes sauce. Not tomato sauce, tomatoes sauce. Slow roast lamb shank on a bed of minted mashed potatoes with a side of roasted root vegetables and a red wine au jus. Gets better. I don't speak whatever this is. French, Latin. Verdure a soppressa. Mixed seasonal vegetables accompanied by, is it cuckoo or couscous? This is when I lost it right here. Cuckoo. And grilled goat's cheese. Whew. Now, then you get to dessert. I don't even know what this means. E-A-T-O-N. How do you say that, Jason? What do you say? Eaton? Eaton mess. M-E-S-S. What is it? Is that something? Eaton mess. Strawberries, raspberries, thick cream, and a raspberry coulis. Coulis. I'm telling you, folks. I read through that and I said, there are times we can handle that kind of food. There's other times we need crackers and soda. But I'm going to give you some cuckoo right here. This is the deep stuff. This is the deep stuff. Here it is. Now, remember, we're focusing. Sorry, I took you way off. Coming back now, we're going to talk about God. Nobody can take you out of his hand. We are secure. Here's what it says. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in a helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Here it is, last verse. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry until the final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can never pluck me from his hand. Isn't that great? We are secure in God's hand. And then finally, God is preparing me for eternity. Fifth one, the fifth incontrovertible theological fact. Verse 6 and 7 says, so be glad, there is a wonderful joy ahead. Even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while, these trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. Listen to this. It is being tested like fire tests and purifies gold, and your faith is far more precious to God than pure gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried in those fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Folks, we will go through tough times. You can count on that. Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. They killed him. They tortured him. It says there that these are necessary. These trials, these things that make us stronger, are preparing us for heaven. I don't understand that completely, but like the fire that refines gold. There will be a variety of trials that bring that faith to be stronger. And good news, it's temporary. The farmer was asked what his favorite verse in the Bible was. He said four words. It came to pass. It came to pass. It's coming through. Soon it'll be over. At the light at the end of the tunnel, you look ahead and you say, it's going to be okay. Remember in the library at seminary, the guy had, you know, there was a book called, I'm Okay, You're Okay, something like that. And this guy had on his little desk, it said, I'm not okay, you're not okay, but it's okay. We are loved. We are loved. God's love will get us through. It's going to be tough. There are tough times. And if there aren't tough times, it makes me wonder about myself if I'm not living what I need to live for Christ. Look at 1 Peter 3:15. You ought to have this verse underlined in your Bible. You ought to have it on your mirror in your bathroom. You ought to have it on your car where you can see it every day. Here's what it says. Always. I think the Greek word there means always. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Always be ready. You know, the Bible never tells us to share our faith. We talk about it all the time, share your faith, share your faith. The Bible doesn't say, the Bible says share your hope because it leads to faith. They don't understand what faith is. The lost people, they don't know what faith is, but they know what hope is, and they know what hopelessness is, and we can share it. Just last night, I walked by this table. Matter of fact, they were trying to find my chair. This is always fun, and I'm looking for table number nine. Let's see here. They go, oh, this is table six. I said, can you turn it over? I said, nope, not doing that. But they said, we do have two empty seats. If you can't find it, you come back and sit with us. I came back and talked to those folks later. I told them I was youth pastor, and I said something about, I don't even remember what I said, something about, you probably know the Bible or this and that. He says, I'm not real religious. Don't you love, that's a great line. Not real religious. So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I got to go back over there in a little bit and say something. So we finished dinner, we finished all this. Matter of fact, this couple was from Albania. How about that? Arion and Betiana, great names. Sounds like gymnasts. So we come back over and I said, listen, I got to tell you something. And I'm going to say this. You guys heard this, say this 10, 20 times. I'm going to say it. This is what I told him. I said, you heard of C.S. Lewis. I got to tell you, when he asked the question, could Shakespeare meet Hamlet? Y'all have heard this. I said, yeah, that's a great question. Can Shakespeare, the writer, meet Hamlet? I tell this to everybody in all the weddings. They love it. They don't even know I'm witnessing to them. I said, yeah, there is a way. C.S. Lewis said there's a way that Shakespeare could meet Hamlet. How does that happen? If Shakespeare wrote himself into the play, he could meet Hamlet in the play. Now we're getting ready for Christmas. What happened at Christmas? God wrote himself into creation in a baby, Jesus. Why? So he could meet us. Wow. So I'm telling this guy that, and he goes, that's really good. You know, I'm thinking maybe he's not so negative about religion, but I did it gently with respect. Always prepare, be prepared to share the hope that you have. Hope and faith. This last photo, Kevin will like this. I don't know if he's watching. But the 31 years ago, almost 32 years ago, I did the very first wedding. Very first wedding I ever did was this couple right here. John and Linda Tyler. And John passed away this week. I'm supposed to wear a Tennessee tie to the funeral tomorrow night. I will wear one. Linda and I talked on the phone 2 days ago for about 40 minutes. You know what we talked about? Hope. Radical hope. We talked about how he's in heaven with had a son that passed away named John. He said he's seeing him. He's seeing the other folks who are believers in heaven. If he could come back, he wouldn't. Unless he could come down to the football game, I guess. But you know what? That's what it's all about. God preparing us for eternity. Tomorrow morning, say a little prayer for me. Tomorrow morning, I have a wedding on John's Island at 11:30. And the funeral's at 7 in Cleveland, Tennessee. You can look it up. It's 6.5-hour drive. I told him, I said, I'll be there. She said, we want you to sing the Lord's Prayer right at the beginning. I said, okay, I'll be singing the Lord's Prayer all the way up there. But you know what? It's all about having hope. Hope, radical hope. How do we have that hope? Look again. God is showing it to you and me because he's chosen us. He's securing our future. He's protecting us that nobody can pluck us out of his hand. He's protecting us day by day. And he's preparing us for eternity. A lot of times in the funeral services, we say, when you were born, you cried, and everybody else was happy. Live your life so that when you die, everyone else cries, but you're happy. You have a hope that brings you into heaven, a hope in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Let us pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We know that hope is something that our world needs right now. It's a big week right here in our country as we go through an election time. Lord, I pray that we will all be faithful and pray about being a part of that. Lord, remind us that you've given us great hope, the only hope that lasts forever through Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's someone here today who's never put their faith, their trust, their hope in you, I pray that even today they would come right down front here and pray and ask you to come into their heart, ask you to forgive our sins, to live in our heart and give us that hope for eternity. Lord, we love you and we give this time a commitment to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we get ready for our final song here, we want to remind you of a couple things. First, our youth tonight are meeting at 6 right here. We will have some food and fun. We always do some games, maybe a few prizes and so on. But we're also going to be loading up some Operation Christmas Child boxes as Lori and some of the ladies have gone out and purchased items. Some of you have turned money in and did not fill a box, just bought, and they went out and bought the items. We're going to be loading those items tonight to be sent around the world like the video that we saw. If you are bringing your box in, make sure, I think there's instruction there. Is it $10 for shipping?
You can either put a $10 bill or $10 cash in it, or either you can write a check to OCC, not to Grace Point.
Not to Jason Ridge?
Not to Jason Ridge or Luria Queen.
OCC.
But to OCC, okay. And just write out whatever amount you want to cover your box.
Got it. All right. You know, I forgot to mention Seattle, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, my goodness. I asked earlier, I was at a wedding Friday night. These folks from Dahlonega, Georgia, one lady was from Seattle, Washington. And I always invite people to church, and I said, just spontaneously, I said, oh, we have a great outreach to people from Seattle. And I thought, that was a weird statement, wasn't it? The guy was laughing so hard. One of the guys was laughing so hard, and then she called her boyfriend over, and she said, we got to go visit this church. So, Melanie, and then I said, we do have a lady who loves the Seattle Seahawks. So there you go. So you're going to be bringing people in the church
exactly.
From Seattle Seahawks. All right. What else? Jason, anything else? Let's sing. You want to sing a song? Let's do a song. Well, let's pray together. And one other thing I forgot. Man, Tuesday, the youth, some of the youth and some parents going up to the fair. It's like a two for Tuesday day. If you're interested in that, come by and see me afterwards. Or you need to pray or come out, feel free. Come talk to myself or Jason anytime. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this, just a great group that's gathered today, a family to worship you. Help us as we go out to share the hope that we have. Always be prepared to share the hope of eternal life. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen.